Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets you'll see in December. You won't need a telescope or fancy equipment, just bring your curiosity. December is the month of the solstice, when the sun appears farthest south in the sky. That means winter for us and summer for Australians. This year, the December solstice comes at 11:28 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the 21st. You know, virtually every culture has celebrated the winter solstice as a seasonal turning point, a sign that brighter, longer days lie ahead. But none of them celebrates the solstice because it's the longest stargazing night of the year. Huh. The truth is that December is one of the best times of the year to watch the stars. For one thing, unlike much of summer, you step outside and the air just looks clean, and clean air makes the stars and planets easier to see. Then you factor in what this season has to offer overhead, which is a lot. And it gets dark early, by 5 p.m. in most places. Heck, I sometimes try to sneak in a little stargazing before supper. Before we get to the stars and planets of this holiday season, I want to let you know that this should be a good year for the Geminid meteor shower, which peaks on the night of December 13th. Pretty much everyone knows about the Perseid meteors that arrive each August, but the Geminids are the year's most unappreciated and underrated meteor event. We call this shower the Geminids because the meteors you see all seem to streak across the sky from the direction of the constellation Gemini. Now, ordinarily, astronomers can count on the Geminids to give us a pretty good show, maybe one meteor per minute from a really dark location after 10 p.m. And that count might be higher this year because there'll be no interference from moonlight. Also, unlike some showers that have a sharp, brief peak, the Geminids are strong for a day or so, so keep an eye out for stragglers on the nights of the 12th and the 14th. And finally, because Gemini rises around the end of twilight, you can enjoy these meteors before it's time for bed, but you will see more if you can stay up past midnight. If you happen to be up before dawn, look for Jupiter in the eastern sky. It's rising higher each morning, trying to catch up to Mars, which is much dimmer and to its upper right. Clench your fist and hold it out at arm's length. That's roughly the separation between Jupiter and Mars at the middle of this month, but they'll be separated by just a couple of degrees by New Year's Eve. A lovely crescent moon cruises through this part of the pre-dawn sky on the mornings of December 13th, 14th, and 15th. Finally, starting about December 20th, keep an eye out before dawn for fleet-footed Mercury, which starts creeping up from the eastern horizon to Jupiter's lower left. It'll climb a little higher and appear progressively brighter until the first days of 2018. With all this action in the pre-dawn sky, is there anything worth viewing after sunset? You bet! We might be on winter's doorstep, but the evening sky is still hanging on to some of the stars of summer. For example, look well to the upper right of where the sun sets, about halfway up in the sky. That bright, icy white star is Vega, which is sometimes called the summer star because it rides high in the sky during the balmy evenings of July and August. But now it's low in the west, as if deflated by the oncoming cold. Catch it soon after dark, before it sets for good until next summer. Above Vega, by about 1.5 fists, is a slightly dimmer star called Deneb. It forms the head of the Northern Cross, which stands more or less upright during the evening at this time of year. Do you see it? The cross is about 2 fists tall. This is what astronomers call an asterism, a pattern of stars, like the Big Dipper, that's easy to spot but not really a full-fledged constellation. Now swing your gaze completely around until you're facing east. About 8 p.m. in early December, and by 6 p.m. at month's end, you can take in what S&T columnist Fred Schaff calls a tower of brilliance that starts near the horizon and climbs all the way to overhead. Start low down with Orion and the easy-to-spot vertical trio of the stars that mark his belt. To Orion's left, by a couple of fists, are the twins of Gemini, anchored by the stars Castor and, below it, slightly brighter Pollux. That's the general area from which the Geminid meteors will seem to originate as they zip across the sky. Above Orion is Taurus, the bull, whose angry eye is marked by the reddish superstar Aldebaran. Look a little more than 1 fist above Aldebaran for a fuzzy patch of light. This is the Pleiades, a tight little nest of stars. Sometimes they're called the Seven Sisters. If you've got decently sharp eyesight, you'll see that the six brightest stars of the Pleiades form a tiny Dipper shape. Don't confuse this with the real Little Dipper, which is much bigger and located due north in the sky. To Aldebaran's upper left is the bright star Capella. This is the alpha star in the constellation Auriga, which you can make out as a broad, misshapen hexagon with Capella at its top. Now, Auriga has a split personality. He's either a charioteer or a goat herder, depending on whom you ask. Capella means she-goat, and just to its right is a faint, narrow triangle of stars, sometimes called the kids, as in baby goats. Continue upward and a little to the right of Capella to spot a loose chain of stars, about 2 fists long, marking the mythical hero Perseus. And directly overhead is Andromeda, the chained maiden of Greek mythology. Her mother, Queen Cassiopeia, is the bright zigzag of 5 stars to Andromeda's left, that is, toward north. Now let's end the evening tour by looking directly overhead, next to Andromeda, for 4 medium bright stars at the corners of a huge square that's a bit bigger than the size of your clenched fist. That's another asterism, called the Great Square of Pegasus, and it marks the body of a mythical horse that's flying across the sky. But this isn't much of a horse. Look, it has no hindquarters, and it's upside down as seen by us northerners. Look for 2 loose strings of stars stretching from the corner at upper right that trace the horse's front legs. The neck and head extend westward from the corner at lower right, ending in the star Enif, an Arabic word meaning the nose. Now, if you're lucky enough to have good dark skies, and if there's no bright moonlight, look past Enif for a parade of 4 small constellations, each marked by only 3 or 4 dim stars. From left to right, these are Equuleus, the little horse, Delphinus, the dolphin, Sagitta, the arrow, and Vulpecula, the little fox. For more details about all things astronomical, check out our website, skyandtelescope.com. Until next month, I wish you clear skies.